This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
Okay, basically it's the same system with a new addition. Specific tones are still linked to motivation, but now we've added color distinction. So object A will attack object B, or black will attack white, or vice versa. I'm gonna try the whole thing out tomorrow.
Same concentration of formula.
Mm-hmm.
That means we are right on schedule. Just one more test, and then we are ready for the world.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, the worldwide leader in sports violence coverage. I'm your host, Stimulator, and I am happy to say that this is my 100th motherfucking show. Hey, settle down. Chill the fuck out, motherfuckers. It's not such a big fucking deal. I was planning on doing a retrospective of the past 5 fucking years of this motherfucking show, but you would have been subjected to shit like this.
Welcome to the very first episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
Besides, yeah, I know you feel that. Yo, bring my headphones up. Yeah, a little more bass. Yeah, that's tight. There's a riot in my town tonight, and everybody had a smashing good time. Motherfuckers drank millions of pints and got together for a night of crime. Yeah, I know. That was pretty fucking bad. That's right. I rolled into town just in time for some good old Canadian hockey riots. Vancouver's home team had a pretty good chance at winning this year's Stanley Cup, but was brutally defeated in their home turf by the toothless Ice Pirates from Boston. This prompted fans to unleash a carnival of vandalism, where rioters caused millions of dollars of damage to corporate stores and gas-guzzling vehicles, including 2 pigmobiles.
What's the problem, son?
But this was no laughing matter to Vancouver's top pick, Jim Chu, who already had a good idea who instigated
Riot 2011.
Our city was still vulnerable to a number of young men and women disguised as Canucks fans who were actually criminals and anarchists.
That's right, Chu. We fucking did it. With the guidance from Black Cherry, our fearless leader, who provided the signal for the fun to begin. Seriously, if we had the power to incite this sort of mayhem, we would have destroyed capitalism ages ago. But a few days later, a communique was issued by the real culprits of the Smashy Smash, and it was not the Black Bloc, but a new underground group that calls itself the Knock Bloc.
Go! On June 15th, thousands of individuals formed the Knock Bloc and destroyed a number of corporate targets and carbon-emitting personal devices in downtown Vancouver. We called on comrades from all genders and races to puck shit up and make Vancouver a world-class city. The Knock Bloc all dressed in Canuck jerseys to show solidarity with each other, but also to identify the different tactical groups. These include, but are not limited to, the Kessler Assault Unit and the Sedin Emergency Dental Brigade. We successfully kept the police out of the liberated zone for several hours, and most of our comrades were able to escape state repression. Unfortunately, members of the Luongo Disguise Detachment were supposed to bring goalie masks for everyone, but did not catch the message.
In Chile, people rioted over more important things, like the proposed dams that threatened the Aysén region, one of Chile's most beautiful natural reserves. Over 40,000 eco-warriors invaded the streets of Santiago and showed the motherfucking popo that their anger is unstoppable. Check this shit out.
Go!
Cause they be the rest. When we, you gotta understand.
Don't trust the police, no justice, no peace. They got me face down in the middle of the street. Pistol with me with the heat. Chicken shit sizzling, trying to turn me with the all you can eat. Murder me, I'm a young black heterosexual male. Don't drink, drink, don't smoke, don't sell.
Over in cyberspace, two groups of hacktivists have been wreaking havoc on corporations and government institutions. The LOL sect and Anonymous had demonstrated their prowess as keyword jockeys and had overpowered the security of websites such as PayPal, MasterCard, the Spanish police, Sony, PBS, the US Senate, and the motherfucking CIA. Anonymous say they had done this in solidarity with imprisoned Army whistleblower Bradley Manning, WikiLeaks, and Footnote Bombs. But the LOL sect said that they did it simply for the LOLs.
The living conditions of the American masses, that's you, are swiftly deteriorating. Our generation is going through the final convulsions of the dying world of capitalism. That's what it says here. And if you don't believe that pamphlet, try this one.
While our capitalism is in a minor kerfuffle, you have to hustle before the fates come reshuffle. Rustle up another couple grievances and air 'em. You can laugh about it later, maybe. Needed all the sparing for the moment, though. You ordered half-calf, didn't get it. There was no TV set when you jetted. Internet resetted itself just as I was in the middle of tournament play. And so I suffered from transmittal interruption. Completely ruined my day. MC front a lot's a jackass, all I'm trying to say. People buy CDs in these days of disaster. So poor me, I have to be a professional rapper. No bubbles in the soda cup.
First world problem.
It'll crash when you load it up.
First world problem.
Phone's OS is out of date.
First world problem.
Colors won't calibrate.
First world problem.
They never stock the snack you want.
First world problem.
Caught herpes from a sebutant.
First world problem.
You caught herpes from a sebutant. That magnificent creature. Got wall hacked in PvP.
First world problem.
Oh no, HD DVD.
First world problem.
Pixels aren't perfect square.
First world problem.
Your favorite rapper isn't debonair.
First world problem.
You own too many underwear.
First world problem.
And you're not much of a millionaire.
First world problem.
Well, it's been a year since the motherfucking resistance formed a diverse coalition of brave freedom fighters and loudly proclaimed their rejection of global capitalism on the streets of Toronto during the G20 meetings. What happened in T-Dot is the stuff of legend, and I am not just talking about the smashy smash. I am talking about the thousands who faced brutal police repression and still walked the streets to make a loud and uncompromising statement during those fateful 7 days. The crotch-sniffing rulers of the land don't like it when the population gets uppity and unleash a wave of violence and intimidation that is lasting to this day. Today, I want to celebrate the folks who risked their liberty to fight for freedom and who faced serious charges for taking part in the anti-G20 protests. Thanks, y'all. You're a motherfucking inspiration to all of us.
My name's George John Horton. I'm facing about 9 charges.
Hi, I'm Sterling, and I'm charged with 3 counts of conspiracy.
My name is Ryan, and currently I'm being charged with 3 counts of mischief over 5,000.
My name is Julian, and I was originally charged with conspiracy to commit indictable offenses. Later, it was changed to counseling to commit indictable offenses. Later, it was dropped.
My name's Eric, charged with conspiracy charges from the G20.
My name is Kelly Flugback. I originally have 13 charges. I now have somewhere between 8 and 13, although I'm not sure anymore, and I don't think the Crown is sure either.
My name is David Prohitka. I was charged with 3 counts of conspiracy.
Assault police officer.
I was originally charged with conspiracy and 1 count of mischief over.
Assault police officer with a weapon.
Conspiracy to assault a police officer.
6 more counts of mischief over.
Intimidation police officer.
Obstruct justice.
Intimidating a police officer.
Obstruct police officer.
Masked with intent.
That's conspiracy to assault police.
Obstruct a police officer and commit mischief over 5,000.
3 mischief under, disguise with intent to commit crime, weapons dangerous, and possession of stolen property under 5,000.
I'm on house arrest to a degree, which which prevents me from even leaving with a surety or from being signed out.
The one that really affected my life was not to participate, aid, abet, counsel any unlawful or illegal act, because basically unlawful is anything from a provincial offenses. So jaywalking would be a breach.
I can't talk to basically all of my friends and the people who were part of my community.
I'm on complete house arrest. I have been for about 9 months now.
The two conditions that are being really rigidly upheld are the non-association with my co-accused, as well as a variety of other people, and no public demonstrations, which is kind of a bitch.
I really only can't leave the province, and I need to keep the peace, which means I can't like break any laws, which include even the extent of jaywalking.
I can't speak to about 120 people.
The government's job is to attempt to isolate us from the community with the hopes of breaking our support structures. And we need to stay strong in the face of that repression and remember that they can only jail us. They can't actually break our spirits and break our love for each other.
If we don't support political prisoners and people who are arrested today, when we get arrested, no one will support us. And I would think that it's important that the community take up support of, like, as simple as just calling a person who's on house arrest or visiting them.
The best thing that communities can do is work through all of the big questions, like working out good security cultures, staying strong and not letting the repression work its magic and divide us all and make us all scared.
You know, support your brothers and sisters in jail, support people who have been wrongfully convicted, support people who are criminalized because of their ethnicity and because of their class.
I have an immense amount of gratitude for all of the people that have been working tirelessly to raise funds, or all of the care packages and support letters, my immediate network of friends and family who've adjusted their lives to help me live through these bizarre conditions.
A lot of like the stuff that happened there in regards to the police brutality is what a lot of people face on an everyday basis, especially like a lot of homeless youth.
I'm sitting in this holding cell in Toronto and I was feeling pretty miserable. There was like one or two other people in the cell. One of them was really quiet, the other one was kind of passed out. And then all these women walk in who were from the nearby jail, who had just gotten transferred there for their court or whatever. And they like automatically just walked in and they were like, "Hey, what's your name? What are you in here for?" I said, "I was supposedly one of the leaders of the G20, that's what they're saying. Immediately, they all start hugging me, start high-fiving me, and they're like, "Fuck yes, you are amazing. We love what happened."
I think the greatest thing to remember was what was seemingly exemplified as collective solidarity amongst people who I didn't know, who I'm not sure if any of them knew each other, but were willing to come to each other's immediate help in times of need.
It's just one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen. I was born and raised in Toronto, and for the first time it didn't feel like such a plastic, inert maze to be passively interacted with. It was a dynamic and creative expression of something I think people in Toronto have felt for a very long time.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Many mega motherfucking thanks to all the slaves who have helped make this show happen for the last 5 motherfucking years. You are way too many to name, but from the bottom of my motherfucking heart, muchas fucking gracias. And I am going to be taking a well-deserved break this July, but stay tuned as this show returns in August with more news from the streets of rage. To comment on this show or to send me sci-fi book suggestions that I can read at the beach this summer, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Have a riotous summer, suckers.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.